you're feeling as good as I am today on this Wednesday. A little midweek action. We're going to have some midday midterms later on to grade a little thing or two here in the sports world. We got all kind of good things happening. Obviously, the NFL kicks off tomorrow night. We're going to be myself and C-Cat at the Duffy's in Delray Beach. The Duffy Sports Grill out there to watch my Chiefs take on his Ravens to get things started. A rematch of the AFC Championship game. I'll give a word of advice to my fellas and my sports-loving fans out there that maybe have a significant other that does not tap in to the NFL as much, or college football, or any of the sorts. This is your last night to have a super-duper secluded, like, hey, baby, it's just you and me today. It's just you and me for a nice romantic dinner, or maybe a night on the town, or a movie, or anything like that, before football inevitably takes over our lives. Like, the NFL is leaving nothing to chance. C-Cat, they're giving us absolutely no room to breathe. They're hovering over everything. They're on all of our streaming platforms. Now they're taking over Friday Night Football, even for the high school kids, having the Eagles game and the Packers play in Brazil. Like C-Cat, you're on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, and you're also feeling like me, like, yo, football's about to take over, and there needs to be some concessions made earlier, or we're going to get a behind the eight ball here.
It's like I'm jumping in a moving car. Like, it's going about 15 miles per hour, which is a whole lot faster when you try to jump on it in motion. We are going headfirst into the NFL season.
We are. Do you have any Wednesday night plans set up so far? Because for me, I've already told the wife, I said, hey, you know, we're going to spend some time. We're going to go get some drinks, a little happy hour, maybe hit a movie. And yeah, tomorrow, of course, since we're going to Duffy's, and then Friday, I got high school football coverage. I'll also be locked in on watching the Packers and the Eagles. And then, of course, Saturday, college football slate starts right back up. We got Michigan, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend in Ann Arbor. I was just talking to the homie Paige Kornblue, who's a Big Blue alum that's going to be out there for that. I'm like, dang. They're not even ramping this thing up slow. Like, we're in the thick of it. And then comes the first Sunday of NFL football. Scott Hansen turning on the red zone and getting it cracking. Like, C-Cat, are you planning for this by, you know, doing a little something Wednesday with the lady?
Not at all. Fantasy football draft tonight. Gonna watch some pro wrestling starting at 8. I got a wrestling pay-per-view to double screen on Saturday.
You're a sicko.
The ship has sailed.
You're a sicko. Did you eat? Or maybe it was this past weekend. Did you do this past weekend? Did you do a couple of days earlier this week? Or are you just like, you just, because again, maybe this is like your third year living together? Second year?
About 4 years now.
4 years. And this, so you're not new to this, but you're still doing rookie mistakes here.
You know, my girlfriend's big into fantasy football too. So she signed up with it. So she's in on the NFL Sundays. The college football Saturdays, there's more bargaining that goes into those conversations. But Sundays, that's fine by me.
And then you have the wrestling nights as well. Like, you have a lot of nights where you're commandeering the TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
But y'all have multiple TV screens.
Not in the living room, no. That TV remote goes through me. And, you know, there are some things that you have to bargain with in the relationship. And that's one of my non-negotiables. It is kind of, you know, the rights of the television.
All right. Okay. You the man.
She got an iPad. She got a phone.
You're making her go to the secondary screens as her primary. You are relegating her viewing pleasure to a damn iPad and a phone.
Headphones?
Oh, she's got to use the headphones too. She can't interrupt you know, Gene Tessitore and Scott Hansen and Mike Tirico and whatnot. C-Cat. Goodness.
Listen, we all know our strengths.
Oh, we do. We do. I'm actually thrilled because we spend all offseason, all summer, since the Chiefs walked off that podium and Patrick Mahomes promised the fans a third Lombardi trophy in a row, promised that that's what the next step was, that that's the journey for the Chiefs. Since that moment up until tomorrow night, we just spend a lot of time pontificating. We spend a lot of time, again, for these fantasy football drafts, which we did one in C-Cat's league last night. We won't get into the details of that, but C-Cat had the 101. He went Josh Allen, super flex. My second quarterback is Daniel Jones, so I'll be hoping and praying that Brian Daboll pulls a bunny out of the hat this year because I'm stuck a little bit. But we've been doing all of this in preparation for tomorrow night, and that got me thinking. I also saw something that Mina Kimes did with ESPN. She did something called the NFL League Pass Rankings. Now, C-Cat, you're not a huge NBA fan. You are a fan of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Have you ever subscribed to NBA League Pass?
No, never.
So for those that don't know what NBA League Pass is, it's similar to whatever the subscription process is for any of the other major sports, right? Like if you buy NBA League Pass, which I buy every single year, you get to watch any NBA game outside of your coverage area in the market, right? So if we're in the Miami market, can't watch the Heat, I can watch the other 29 teams as long as they're not playing the Heat every single night. It gives you so many good things. It gives you in-depth stats. You can watch games back. You can watch condensed games. It's really great, and it's a great way for you to introduce yourself to teams that you wouldn't get on the national broadcast or even on your local broadcast, obviously. So it's a popular item for NBA fans like myself. The NFL has a version with it through NFL Network. And CCAT, you were telling me before the show, apparently Major League Baseball has this.
Yeah, MLB TV. Got a buddy with a hookup, so I don't pay for it, but I use it.
Oh.
I watch my Yankee games, of course.
You're commandeering the... So what subscriptions do you actually have? Are you a pay for Netflix through my cousin guy as well, or...?
No, as the years go on, you share less and less passwords because of cracking down there in Silicon Valley, and you make a little bit more money, so
don't you
can
think
stomach.
They have enough money, bro? Why are they trying to not... You know?
But if you could literally not share a password... That probably would double, if not triple, Netflix's earnings.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot of money. But I pay for the Netflix. I get the free Peacock with a golf membership I already have. And then I pay for my live TV on Hulu. I cut the cord, so I do it that way.
I like that.
Everything. That's the extent.
So those are your main things. And then also you are locked in with your buddy through the MLB Network or MLB Plus or whatever.
Yep.
So in the NBA League Pass... actually, Zach Lowe, who's a really famed ESPN writer for basketball, he talks about his League Pass rankings every year, where he ranks the teams that maybe are not in contention to win NBA titles, but they're the most fun to watch. They're the most entertaining, the teams that he is most excited to watch throughout the season. Mina Kimes gave her top five of teams that she's most excited to watch. She called it her NFL League Pass rankings. And so I thought, hey, here on Theoretically Speaking, as we have been gearing up the audience for this NFL season, as we've been talking college ball, why not we give our top five, our NFL League Pass rankings? So we'll do just that right here. And before I actually give you mine, I want to bring your attention to a poll we just tweeted out on ESPN West Palm on Twitter at ESPN West Palm. It is our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections Poll of the Week. And that question is, and again, you can answer it at ESPN West Palm, which NFL team of these are you most excited to watch in 2024? Of course, we had to have your Miami Dolphins in there, who are in the lead right now, but you also have the option of the New York Jets, the Chicago Bears led by Caleb Williams, and then there's other, which you can write below. Make sure you tap in on our poll of the week at ESPN West Palm on Twitter. And our Monday poll, which we brought to you on a Wednesday, brings you a friendly reminder from the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. The general election is November 5th. It's right around the corner. And you have to be registered to vote by Monday, October 7th. Mark that date down. In order to make your voice heard, you have to be registered by Monday, October 7th. Your vote is your voice, and we are here to make sure it counts. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov for all the info you need to be ready to go in November. Get out and vote. People fought for that right for you. All right, CCAT, here we go. My NFL League Pass rankings, the teams I'm most excited to watch in 2024. Let's start you off with a surprise.
Number five.
The Carolina Panthers.
Ew.
The Carolina Panthers. Hashtag keep pounding. And this is one of those situations where, of course, you know I'm a former Carolina Panthers fan. I'm a Chiefs fan right now. I live in a utopia. Every Sunday is beautiful. Every Thursday night, every Monday night football game where I watch my Chiefs play, it is beautiful, it is nice, it is enjoyable. Every now and then I need a little bit of perspective. And this year I'm excited to see what the hell the Panthers look like. I'm excited to have a good laugh. Ha ha! Y'all thought things were gonna change. Dave Tepper is still the owner of that organization, and that franchise is gonna be in the bellows. It's gonna be bad for as long as he owns it. Unless he starts to give up more control. I am excited, though, to see what Dave Canales is able to do with Bryce Young. I want to see what year two looks like for him. And Deontay Johnson's a number one receiver. He actually has a real weapon, so maybe there are some things to look forward to. But also, I just want to have a good laugh on Sunday, so I'll be watching the Panthers to see what that looks like. And, get some jokes off on Twitter. It'll be fun.
It's a bad pick.
I don't care. It's my list. It's not boring to watch a 5'5" guy run around behind a line and heave the ball around. It's actually kind of entertaining.
Number four
on my team's most excited to watch here in the NFL for 2024. Going back to the crib, baby. We ain't plexing. We kicking it with the Houston Texans. I want to see what my guy CJ Stroud has got going. I got to see what he's cooking up. I want to see how long into the season it takes for Stephon Diggs to start making a little bit more of a fuss. If Nico Collins is getting more targets, if Tank Dell is getting more of the touchdowns, how team first is Stephon Diggs at this stage in his career with his third team, but a team that was already established before he got there? One thing that y'all are forgetting too with the Texans, C-Cat, I'm excited to see what that defense becomes. Everybody's been talking about the weapons, and rightfully so, but D'Amico Ryans got that job in Houston because of his defensive acumen, and they've added more to that repertoire. They've added more to that wealth out there, and you got year two of Will Anderson. That dude was a dog in college at Alabama.
I still think of the butterfly effect. If who threw the Hail Mary pass the season before they drafted C.J. Stroud?
Davis Mills?
Yes, Davis Mills tossed the Hail Mary, which pushed the Texans further back in the draft by winning that game. They would have had the rights to draft whatever quarterback they wanted if they didn't win that game, but the Panthers took Bryce Young. The next guy up was C.J. Stroud. How would it have gone?
And also, you know what I will say about the Carolina Panthers? As bad as David Tepper has been to the success of the Carolina Panthers, he is directly responsible for the enjoyment, the happiness, and the optimism of two franchises right now, with the Houston Texans and with the Chicago Bears. Like, the Panthers did that. They deserve a Lombardi Trophy. David Tepper deserves a ring if the Texans or Bears are able to win a Super Bowl based off of what he's done for both of those franchises.
And the Texans will never tell you that C.J. Stroud was their second choice.
No.
But everyone kind of had the rankings where they were. Bryce Young at number one.
And there were a lot of conflicting reports around whether or not the Panthers wanted to take C.J. Stroud, but Dave Tepper, the owner, who we know meddles in everything, even snatches caps off of people's heads, one of the most disrespectful things you can do to somebody, was the guy that, you know, pushed it over and said we're getting Bryce Young. And again, the book's not out on Bryce Young. He has the time to prove himself this year. But again, 5-4, Panthers and Texans. Here it is, my favorite teams, the teams I would most like to watch here in 2024.
Number three.
I'm going to the D, man. It's so cold in the D, but that's why they play in a dome. I want to see what Detroit looks like this year with another year of Jared Goff. They're chanting his name at the draft. Jahmyr Gibbs, they're going to take the leash off of him more and let him run wild all over the field. He was one of the toughest running backs to keep up with. People always were taking the wrong angle with that guy, as quick as he is. And then you got, you know, is Jameson Williams going to pop off this year? Amon-Ra St. Brown is exciting to watch catching balls all over the field. And the biggest thing for that team, dog, again, people sleeping on it, Aaron Glenn has added a bunch to that defense, including Alabama corner Terrion Arnold. And I know that dude is another type of beast, because he was the one that said, yo, you line my mom up against me, I'll shove her in the dirt.
Yeah.
And he said it on, like, Mother's Day.
Wow.
He said on Mother's Day, they asked Terrion Arnold, first-round pick for the Lions, cornerback out of Alabama, if your mama lined up against you, what would happen? Shove her right in the dirt.
Sorry, mama. You would want me to do it that way.
Dude, he would do to his mama what L'Jarius Sneed did to Tyreek Hill in the divisional round last year. That's just, I mean, if that ain't a dog, I don't know what it is.
And you also see Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down. I love rolling the dice, the gambles.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
It's going to be really fun. Also, did you see the Dan Campbell Applebee's commercial?
No, I didn't.
Yes, there's a Dan Campbell Applebee's commercial. He's doing some NIL. Dan Campbell doing some DJ Uiagalelei style NIL. So, I'm warning you right now, Lions fans, you are my team that's number three on this list I most want to watch. I do think you have Super Bowl prowess in your future. When Dan Campbell calls one of those 4th-and-3 on his own side of the field and they fail to convert it, just be ready on Twitter. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And that's cool. You risk it. No risk it, no
Number
biscuit.
Number two.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
No risk it, no biscuit. Number two on my list of teams I'm most excited to watch in the NFL. Another shocker right here, C-Cat. I'm going with the Washington Commanders.
Wait.
I'm going with the Washington Commanders. This isn't a list of best teams in the league. I could always just go with the guys with all the primetime games. I could be a loser like you. I know your picks are going to be all like, oh, I want to see the Bengals and the Ravens and the Chiefs. Everybody does. Going off the beaten path here. The Commanders are number two because of who number one is for them. And that's Jaden Daniels. We're going to get a year of Jaden Daniels, who just fresh off of a Heisman campaign at LSU, is going to be going balls to the wall in a Cliff Kingsbury offense, which we've seen produce good numbers for a mobile quarterback. How about I take you back to Kyler Murray's rookie year But oh, this guy actually a little taller, maybe faster, and more electric of an arm. Like, I'm watching Jaden Daniels this year. I think he could be in contention with Caleb Williams for Rookie of the Year. The difference is the Bears are going to win more games. But that dude's going, he's going for it.
I laughed because I actually agree with you with the Commanders. They're on my list, too.
Really?
Yes. I didn't look at your list. It's on the sheet. I didn't look at it. I made my own, and we got the Washington Commanders on there.
That's what's up, dog. What about them excites you, though? Because for me, again, it's Jaden Daniels, but also it's kind of the unknown. Like, they got a lot of weapons out there. Maybe we get the best year out of Terry McLaurin we've been waiting on in a while.
Last time we saw a dynamic quarterback for the Washington franchise was RG3. Ooh. I think of that Monday Night Football throw deep across the middle. Think about the Monday Night Football run for RG3 as a Redskin.
Yeah.
I want to see that happen again with another dynamic quarterback this time. Fingers crossed, stay healthy.
I like this guy, C-Cat, man. We locked in, Twin. We locked in, dog. I didn't know you was a man of culture. I didn't know you knew how it was kicking, dog. We like the Commanders this year. We'll be watching them. And again, I'm thinking about getting that NFL Plus, that NFL Pro subscription, so I can really get the All 22. And this one's obvious. If you've been watching Theoretically Speaking, which, by the way, I always give y'all the goods before it happens. I've been making a lot of great predictions that have bared itself out. Speaking of bearing it out, my number one team that I'm excited to watch for in 2024, outside of my favorite team, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Number one.
The Bears. I need it. I need it like tomorrow. I wish the Bears were on Thursday Night Football and not even my own favorite team. As much as I want to watch the Chiefs, I know what's going to happen. These regular season games don't matter. If the Chiefs lose tomorrow night to the Ravens, C-Cat, does that change your perception of them at all? Like, do you think?
No.
It doesn't matter.
No. You will have to put the Chiefs in a win or go home regular season game. Like if they've got a Lions-Packers situation of 2 years ago,
yeah,
then I will worry about the Chiefs.
Exactly.
But until then, you kind of just give them the benefit of the doubt, wait for the playoffs.
They're going to be good. Like, the Chiefs are going to be good, and I don't want to sound like a spoiled fan. I'm going to watch every game and hang on to every single Patrick Mahomes throw and live in the moment and enjoy it. I mean, you got a new weapon in Xavier Worthy. You are bringing in, like, again, the fastest dude to ever run a combine in a 40 in Xavier Worthy, who also has hands and produced at Texas in the Big 12. You're giving that to Patrick Mahomes, along with Marquise Brown, who apparently is ruled out for tomorrow against his former team, the Ravens. Like, that's going to be fun. But it doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. Every single snap for the Chicago Bears this season matters because it's a data point and it's almost a projection as to what is to come. How good is Caleb Williams actually going to be this year? Can he break these rookie records? Will he surpass every single passing mark that a Chicago Bears quarterback has ever done? He's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze, who, by the way, might be the best receiver in the draft. Everybody keeps talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., rightfully so. Everybody's enamored with Malik Nabers, and I get it. Rome Odunze led the nation in receptions or in yards last year in college football. Same football they were all playing. Rome Odunze played in the national championship game with Washington. Rome Odunze could end up being the best receiver in this draft, and he might just be paired with the quarterback that's most set up for success that we've ever seen in Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears. I've already told y'all, the Bears are winning 12 games this year, and I'll be watching all 17 of them. So when they go 12-5, I'll be on my couch watching them. The only way I won't be is if the Chiefs are playing at the same time, but I don't see how that's not the team that everybody's most excited for. They've got a defense that's up and coming. They got some picks up front. They're trying to fortify the front. But most importantly, dog, that offense.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron stepping in at offensive coordinator. Caleb Williams and the theatrics and the arm angles and the improvisation. I don't know what there is. Like, what are you missing in the Bears game?
Nothing. It's ridiculous. And you know what? We are hyping up this team so much as ESPN West Palm in general. I can't think of a hater right now. It's rare to see that. When you see so much hype behind a football team, you naturally have the other end of the spectrum also get really loud. I'm not hearing the haters about this team quite yet. Maybe they're hiding in the bushes, and the first pick six you see Williams throw, maybe in week one, maybe it's not in week one, they'll jump out and pounce. Of course, Williams has the critics just because of crying in his mom's arms in college, the painted fingernails, possibly allegations of a man purse on Hard Knocks. So those are the weird things you can attack him for. I haven't heard the haters with the Bears. They're the flavor of the year when it comes to the football in the NFL. Yeah. Last year, the flavor of the year was the Jets going into the season. And there were haters of the Jets that were loud before they touched the field. Haven't heard the haters yet with the Bears.
It doesn't, but because if you're going to hate on the Bears, what do you have to stand on? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's your big point?
History.
What's your anti-Bears point? Yeah, history?
It's just the whole Jets because it's the Jets. The Bears.
It's a whole new team. In fact, even Matt Eberflus has a whole new haircut. Have you seen the guy? He looks handsome now.
Silver Fox.
Dude looks good. Got a whole makeover. His wife induced that, and I think the injection of Caleb Williams, knowing he had a real franchise quarterback, is what set that off. Like, there's no counterpoint to the Bears are going to be good this season. I think their win total is still at about 8.5 right now, and that is damn low. The only way I see that not shaking out well is if Caleb Williams goes down, and then in that same breath I can say, well, they got Tyson Bagent, and last year with worst quarterback play, they won 7 games. Like, I just, again, C-Cat, this is my list, the top five of the teams I'm most excited to watch for this season in the NFL. Again, 5 Carolina Panthers, 4 Houston Texans, 3 Detroit Lions, 2 Washington Commanders, and number 1, the Bears. And I just don't see how there's any team that we shouldn't be anticipating and rolling out the red carpet for more than the Bears. My last point on them, C-Cat.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is on the TB12 diet. He's hanging out with Tom Brady. Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's a good thing.
That's a really good thing.
Where's the flaw? We don't see him hanging out at the club, kicking it too much. We don't see him with his own podcast already. Like, where's the flaw? Oh, he paints his fingernail? Like, I'm actually appalled that there hasn't been more hype around the Bears, even with them having the hard knocks. I'm surprised. I don't get it.
The Bears feel like a summer blockbuster where the trailer releases a year ahead of time and gets everybody excited, and everyone's kind of micro-analyzing every little piece of the team and getting excited about it. Think of like the old Avengers days or this past summer, Dune 2, where somehow, some way, this team has a chance to exceed expectations. And if they do, all hell will break loose. The NFL will be broken, and we have a new king of the NFC.
It'll be over with. Like, that's the funny thing too about this. Like, we see these teams get on the doorstep of the Super Bowl and we say, okay, well, they're right there. They'll be back next year. They might be able to do it. Maybe that was your window, Detroit, because the Bears are in your division. Maybe that was your window already, Detroit, because the Packers are in your division. Look at Josh Allen. He may never win a Super Bowl as prolific as he is because he's in the AFC. He's knocking on the wall that is Patrick Mahomes. Again, I just think that we're underselling the Bears this year, and just tell me if I'm wrong. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Which team are you most excited to watch outside of your favorite team in 2024? Which team are you most keen on, most locked in on? You're going to be watching every single Sunday. That's not your favorite team. And how is it not the Bears? Also, if you have a negative opinion about the Bears, please share it right now because I don't get it. 888-760-3776. That's the number, theoretically speaking. C-Cat, I could not log into the computer in front of me, so I don't have our YouTube stream up, so I won't be able to see the chat at all today. So if you could clue me in on anything that happens in the YouTube chat, again, that's at Theo Speaking on the YouTube chat, please let me know. You can also stream it live on Twitter.
I have a Bubba saying he is so excited for the Bengals offense. Can't wait for them to dominate the AFC and the NFL.
So I have a question. Do we have an update on Ja'Marr Chase? We got the tweet from Ben Baby. And by the way, we have Evan Cohen on the other side from Unsportsmanlike joining us in a little bit. We'll get to that. Let me check and see if there's an update. Ja'Marr Chase at practice today. Is he actually practicing, though? He's been doing the hold-in with the Bengals. He's looking for a new contract. He has 2 years left on his deal. That is not something the Bengals typically do. And it looks like, I mean, he's in full pads.
He's in full pads. He's got a helmet in his hand. He is practicing. I think that is considered practice. Ja'Marr Chase is practicing per ESPN West Palm.
Okay, so.
Breaking news on ESPN 106.3 is brought to you by St. Lucie Battery and Tire. If your vehicle has issues with braking or other issues, get it fixed right now at St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
Breaking news. Ja'Marr Chase practicing here for the first practice of game week. According to Ben Baby from ESPN, who covers the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase in full pads in a black uniform with the number 1 in white, holding his striped orange and black helmet, walking into practice right alongside T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase, who has been in negotiations with the Bengals, trying to get a new deal, even though he's 2 years out from hitting the market. is at practice, which means fantasy managers out there, he's likely to be able to suit up for week one when the Bengals take on the New England Patriots. And that is a game he's probably licking his chops. If I'm Jamar Chase, C-Cat, I go out there and catch three touchdowns. I go out there and catch three touchdowns. My boy is Joe Burrow. He wants me to get paid as well. And you go do that, and then you go back to the facility and you say, yeah, pay me.
As if he can just decide to do that?
He can. He's that good, and the Patriots are that bad.
So they're going to force feed Jamar Chase week one?
He's done it the whole career. He's done it at LSU. He's done it the first couple of years in Cincinnati. Why wouldn't he do it now when his boy need a paycheck? See, Kat, if you wanted a huge paycheck from ESPN West Palm, I would force feed you. Just like when you go to a hibachi restaurant and you want the guy to shoot the sake in your mouth. I would do that for you if that meant getting you a fat chick.
Thank you, man. Force feed me takes. Hey, CK, what do you think about the Yankees last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, just team me up every single time with that.
It's throwing it off the backboard to you, dog. You my dog. I'm riding for you just like Joe Burrow would ride for Jamar Chase. If Joe Burrow don't throw three touchdowns to Jamar Chase, we need to have a conversation about him. Because if you ain't about getting your boys paid, then I don't know what you are about. It got to be we over team and then team over me. If you feel me. That's how we kick it on Theoretically Speaking. That was fun. On the other side, we got Evan Cohen coming in from Unsportsmanlike. He's going to pull up. We'll talk a little bit of anticipation for the NFL season, as well as his co-host, Michelle Smallman, making the wrong decision today as the NFL Bachelorette, choosing one squad. I'll tell you on the other side over, the Chicago Bears over, maybe the greatest quarterback to come in as a rookie, Caleb Williams. We'll see.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I would argue there's literally nobody like our next guest here on Theoretically Speaking, but like in a good way, not in the way that Kendrick Lamar says in this hit song, which still has a lot of playback value despite how much it gets played. Here he is. He's inevitable on these airwaves here on ESPN 106.3. He's the host of Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Here on ESPN 106.3 as well, alongside Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. He is Evan Cohen, and you look damn good in that suit this morning, brother. How you doing? Evan.
Oh, no.
I give Evan a compliment for the first time in my life on radio, and he can't even hear it. Like, what's going on here, Evan? Are you
I'm
with
right
us?
I'm here.
Okay, what's up with it?
I'm here. You don't hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, I was stunned that you think I look good because, like you said, I've never heard you say that, and I got ridiculed all day today. I couldn't do it anymore. It's like I finally get dressed up for the show, and everyone had what to say. I walk through the hallways, and Kimberly A. Martin, NFL reporter, stops me and asks me if I'm going to a funeral,
aww.
And I said no. And then she said, oh, your limo driving today? And I said, no. I'm like, I don't understand, because I wore a suit for the Michelle Smallman Bachelorette bit that we had going on where she finally picked the Green Bay Packers as her team, right?
Yes.
And so I thought we were all doing a suit thing. I was like, she was wearing a dress, and like we were all getting dressed up. So I come in, and Canty is sitting there, and he looks at me. He's like, what? I was like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I thought we were supposed to wear suits. He goes, oh, you're right. So he forgot to wear a suit.
Oh, Canty.
Smalls is wearing the dress, and I'm getting ridiculed for wearing the suit. Thankfully, you are the only person actually nice to me, and I was just stunned that someone complimented me.
No, you looked great, man. You looked good in that suit, and I'm guessing the last time you really were, like, wearing a full suit and tie actively was when you were, you know, doing the local TV stuff out here in West Palm, huh? Is that, like, the last time you did that on air?
That is correct.
It's true.
From like a daily basis, yeah.
Yeah,
100%. Like, if you come C-Cat into
left.
My house, why?
I thought you were selling Evan short. I thought that
no.
Evan's been to a lot of different galas and gatherings where he needs to dress
don't
up to a suit and tie.
C-Cat, yes, okay. You see, you ain't listening. See, this is the thing.
He wasn't listening.
You're not listening. All right? Clearly, he wasn't listening. What Theo just said was the last time you wore a suit on a daily basis. Yes. I go to events and different things like that, but I'm not wearing suits on a daily basis. When I did TV in West Palm, that's when I wore suits on a daily basis.
Suits and ties,
right?
Yeah.
So, again, by the way, you know what else, Theo? I'm going to out C-Cat big time now. 2 seconds before we came on, I said, how's the new time slot / the new shows? And he said to me, yeah.
What?
I was like, what?
What? What does that mean, C-Cat?
It was more of a, yep. All right, put you on hold.
What? What the hell is that? Did you not have time to respond, or did you just not have a feeling about it yet?
I kind of had my answer pre-prepared before he said his thing. Like, I said, yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, the clock was counting down, new time slot, 2 hours. My pen exploded in my lap today, so I'm dealing with that, wiping the table, wiping my hands. You didn't have the password to the computer. A lot of things were going on in that break. So I was rushing Evan to hold. That's what was happening.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't know.
Some welcome.
Yeah, this is incredible. So for you, how did the NFL Bachelorette thing go? Michelle Smallman, she had it narrowed down to 3 teams. It was the Jets, it was the Bears, it was the Packers, after she renounced her St. Louis Rams from years ago because they left the city and whatnot. How was that this morning, and were you surprised at all when she did pick the Packers over the Jets and the Bears?
Okay, I want to answer a question with a question, because you've been to our studios. You and I are obviously close. You and Canty are close. You've had Smalls on for this. I'm just curious, because I don't know that you and I have talked about this. Where did you think she was going to go? And just as a refresher for everybody that may have missed it, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN West Palm. She was picking between the Niners, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bears, and the Packers. She eliminated the Niners, Bengals, Dolphins yesterday. It was between the Jets, Bears, and Packers today. What was your gut feeling on where she was going to go?
I thought it would be the Bears, because I thought she would tie herself to not only a team that wasn't just in the playoffs last year, but also a rookie quarterback who's starting anew, and she can get right on board with Caleb Williams. I did notice, though, every time she talked about being an Illinois gal, she always specified where she was in Illinois and how that was completely separate from Chicago. So I should have listened to those hints more. But I knew the whole time, and I think we all did, you, Canty, C-Cap, myself, the Jets were just the team that she dangled out there and kept to the finish line, just like in some reality shows, when they have somebody there that you know they're not going to win it, but you're keeping them there for the views. You're keeping them there for the, for all of the engagement. I think the Jets were a plant. She never really wanted to be a Jets fan.
Is that like you on Tyler Cameron's show or no?
Absolutely, yes. Tyler Cameron, which is Going Home with Tyler Cameron on Amazon Prime. He got myself and my wife on that show only because he knew that's the only way to get engagement. You get Theo Dorsey on it, you get the clicks. Tyler Cameron, who has 2+ million followers on all the social platforms, needed me.
You.
Yeah.
Needed you.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Tyler. It's a good nod.
I am totally in lockstep with you. I knew she wasn't going to pick the Jets. I got to be honest. I did not know who she was going to pick today. I knew who the final three were going to be. I'm not going to lie about that. Like, I did know who the final three were going to be. I intentionally did not ask her who she was going to pick today. I thought she was going to pick the Bears.
Yeah.
I really thought she was going to pick the Bears. I'm actually happy she picked the Packers, because I do think that is the right team for her. You know, we forget sometimes, because I lived in South Florida a lot longer, obviously, even than you have at this point. But we don't, like, you know, everyday conversation is not about ownership in sports. But if you actually think about it, over the last decade or so, right, the Marlins have been an utter disaster from an ownership perspective forever at this point. I mean, horrific, right?
Yeah.
With the previous, specifically Loria. Then the Dolphins, right now, all of our focus is on Mike McDaniel and Tua. We forget it was not that long ago that Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, was in our crosshairs because he just didn't really know how to do this yet and was messing up left and right. And the moment he started to understand how to do this is when he moved out of the way. And the person that I'm leading up to is, we never talk about Mickey Arison with the Heat, because Mickey Arison basically has appointed Pat Riley to basically run the team and be that quote-unquote owner of the team, governor of the team. And so when you get screwed over by the top person at a company like she was with the Rams forever, choosing a team like Green Bay that doesn't have an owner that's owned by shareholders still is probably the obvious move that we just all should have realized all along with her.
I absolutely like it for her as well. Like, once I saw her pull out the vintage Packers shirt and kind of vibe into it, I was like, man, she kind of feels like a Packers fan already. And also, I will say this, she's a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, right? The only real big show in town when it comes to Missouri, when it comes to St. Louis, like, that's their team. Everybody rallies around them. Same thing with the Packers. out in Wisconsin. In the in Chicago, there's a lot of other things going on out there. They've got a lot of Cubs fans. They got White Sox fans. You got the Blackhawks that are heavy out there. Obviously, you have the Bulls, which rained heavier. The Bears are the only show in town when it comes to the NFL. But doesn't it feel like with Green Bay, the way that everybody in Wisconsin rallies around that team is almost synonymous with the St. Louis Cardinals thing?
100%. Absolutely right. I think it's almost like literally the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, by the way? I've been thinking about this.
Yeah, of course, man. It's your studio. Your name's on it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I tried to cover it up before, but they took the sticker down, so yeah.
You've done that bit. I'm glad somebody's not letting you do that bit again. Here's the question. Right now, Theo Dorsey, which emotion is greater for you? Your belief in Miami or your lack of belief in Florida / Florida State?
Ooh. Oh, man, that is...
I was watching Miami this weekend, and I went... And I, you probably don't even know this about me, but I used to do the Miami post-game shows for the network, the statewide network for the University of Miami for 3 years.
I did not know.
And it was the worst 3 years... worst 3 years in program history. Under Coach Shannon, unfortunately, they were awful each of the years. And I was sitting there in empty stadiums. I walked out of the Orange Bowl with Steve Walsh, former UM quarterback and Palm Beach County resident for a long time. After they got shut out by UVA, we were the last two people in that Orange Bowl, and it was awful. So I've seen the lowest of lows. I had that feeling watching Cam Ward, who's as nonchalant as could be while playing quarterback, that, oh, my God, they may be back. And then you watch DJU, and I'm like, I can't believe how he can't throw the football. And I knew Graham Mertz wasn't that good because he went to Wisconsin where I went to school. But I'm just curious for you, the emotion that is greater, the belief in Miami or lack of belief in Florida or Florida State?
I've got to say it's the belief in Miami, right? Like, Cam Ward, and you said it, and I've been feeling this way since this summer when I went out to Charlotte for ACC kickoff and got to talk with and interview a lot of the ACC teams. And sat down with Cam Ward and sat down with Mario Cristobal. And immediately when you're in that dude's presence, you start to believe. You start to get a little bit further into the fanfare of what he can do. Mario Cristobal said he plays the quarterback position like a linebacker with the reckless abandon and the amount of like power he runs with and throws with. He has a really good job. He does a really good job of like evading sacks as well. And I think the biggest difference between this Miami team and years of past, like, they've been great in the trenches. They've had good defensive secondaries. They've even had good weapons. Like, Xavier Restrepo's not new. But the quarterback position, like, as good as we thought Tyler Van Dyke was, Cam Ward is even better, and he's an elite leader. He's an elite, like, tone setter. He immediately stepped into Coral Gables, and everybody started buying in on him. Like, he's the reason why I believe, and I think in college football, when you have that guy at quarterback, they can transform a team. You look at Joe Burrow with the LSU Tigers. You look at Cam Newton back with the Auburn Tigers. I think Cam Ward can be that for the Canes this year, and I think that the ceiling is national championship now as long as they keep him healthy and they stay focused on the goal. You heard him right after the game, though. He was like, I'm going to enjoy this for like 30 minutes, and I'm getting right back to the grind. That dude is built different.
Did you just go too far, or do you think that's fair? You just brought up national championship aspirations.
That's fair. That should be the aspiration. Like, obviously, there's steps to it. They've never won an ACC title before, so you have to do that. You have to get through each week. And me as a fan, I get to say these things. They won't. But before the season, I said they should be the clear-cut favorite in the ACC. They have the best roster and the best quarterback in a conference that's wide open right now, and they just proved it in the swamp. And we saw what Clemson looked like. We saw what Florida and Florida State looked like. They look like they have zero answers. And, I mean, who are we afraid of in the ACC at this point? Like Louisville?
NC State? Everything you're saying is right.
Yeah.
Here's where like, I'm tearing myself down through you on this, because I'm hearing you do what I'm doing, the same exact thing with Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've seen this before, and I've seen them fall apart. But it just feels different. And I'll give you one other thing that people are not bringing up enough about. Like, everybody says how good their defensive line is and how they rush the passer and everything like that. Like, can we acknowledge who their defensive line coach is? Does anyone realize that Jason Taylor is on that
staff?
Come on!
The Hall of Famer! The greatest
defensive lineman to ever play this sport and one of the coolest dudes around? You don't think that dude could walk into a living room, NIL or not, and recruit a young man and talk to his family and feel entrusted in Jason Taylor? Hell yeah, they can. Like, I just... I'm buying into it the way you are, but when you use those two words, national championship, that's when I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going overboard here.
It's going to be hard. Like, I still don't think they're a better team than Georgia. The Ohio State has more talent. Like, there are teams out there in the nation that are better, but they will be in the 12-team playoff. I'm convicted in that. They will win the ACC. They'll be in the 12-team playoffs, and you're telling me there's a chance. Because every single year before this, it never really felt like that, and even the TVD hype came with some asterisks. I don't think there's anything missing, really, from this team. They've got the running game. They've got a great O-line. They got a great D-line. And you talked about the pass rush and everything like that, Evan Cohen. I think people are glazing over the fact Miami played that game, most all of it, without their best defender in Reuben Bain, the true sophomore who's out of South Florida, who got injured a few snaps in. He's their best defender on the defensive line. They didn't even have them, and they still dominated Florida on the road. Like, this Canes team is deep.
Theo, then play this one out for me. More likely to happen, okay, in your mind, Miami misses the playoff or Billy Napier back next year with Florida?
Napier's gone. I think more likely to happen is, are you saying more likely to happen Napier being back or Miami missing the playoffs? You know what? It's more likely that Napier is back, maybe because the athletic department doesn't want to cut that check. And also, I don't know the name of the backup quarterback that came in for the Gators, Evan. And you talked about Grant Mertz, who was the starter and obviously the guy that came in.
Yeah. They have a big-time recruit. I forgot his name also. Yeah, I should know that. My bad.
I forget off the top of the head as well.
You should more know that more than I should know that, but yes, we both should know that.
Yes. So we're failing our audience right now. But what I will say is, whoever that dude is, he's going to be a problem
he's
in the future.
Good.
Yeah, and if they insert him, like there's a chance the Gators. I mean that schedule's tough, but there's a chance the Gators squeak out like six wins and have a promise, and maybe he can regain control of that thing. But I don't think the Hurricanes are missing the playoffs.
You just did. But here's the thing, Theo. What you just did, is like everyone listening, and we have tons of alums of Miami, Florida, and Florida State, and Palm Beach County, and the Treasure Coast, as you know. Most of them believe Billy Napier is gone.
Yeah.
What you just said in my hypothetical, either or, right? Is that you are so sure that Miami's going to be in the college football playoff that you're willing to say that Billy Napier getting another year in Florida when everybody thinks he's dead man walking is more likely than Miami making the playoffs. Basically, you just guaranteed that the Canes are making the playoffs.
You did. You trapped me right there, Evan. You're a pro. That was pretty good. C-Cat, like, I feel like an idiot right now.
DJ Lagway, backup quarterback, Florida.
DJ Lagway. Yes. And you're right, Evan.
C-Cat, you should have fed us that information. You didn't. I don't know what you're doing.
I was listening to you very intently.
Let's start a little drama and controversy. Do you care about the next show more than this show? Are you worrying about that show?
Oh, wow.
Is that what you're doing?
He's prepping for Russo and Rizzo already and not even tapped into this conversation.
Wow.
C-Cat, you double H.
Peek behind the curtain. I actually was doing something for that show. Yes, I watched.
No, we're all supposed to be one, and you just screwed us over, C-Cat.
Oh, my gosh. Evan.
Sorry, DJ Lagway.
Evan, C-Cat, I feel betrayed. Evan, I feel betrayed by you because you trapped me into saying something that was, like, inherently wrong, because obviously it's more likely that the Canes can lose a game or two and fall out of the playoff, and then Napier coming back, and then C-Cat's working on the next show.
No.
I'm getting trapped.
No, I think you should stand by it. I really do. Forget the Napier part. I will right now. Before I go, because I know I've taken up too much of your time over the interview, and I apologize.
You got a show to do, and you're over here just...
Are you Theo Dorsey on September 4th ready to guarantee the Canes make the playoff?
I guarantee the Miami Hurricanes are making the 12-team playoff this year. Absolutely.
Let's go! It's all about the U.
Lock it in, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Evan... Appreciate your time. Congratulations on the new Packers fan on your show, Unsportsmanlike. We'll be tapped in throughout the season to see how that goes for Michelle Smallman. And tell Chris Canty, next time y'all are rocking suits to the party, stop being dilatory there, man. You know, pick up the slack.
Yeah, probably not going to tell him that, but thanks.
He's a really big guy. I appreciate it, Evan. I'll see you next week. That's Evan Cohen, Evan the Inevitable, pulling up on us here on ESPN 106.3. He'll be back with us weekly on Theoretically Speaking, even in our new time slot. It's not too early for Evan Cohen. You can tap in with them at Unsportsmanlike. You can tap in with us at Theo Speaking on YouTube. Make sure you're with us through the ride. On the other side of this thing, we got the Safe Bound Get Around, and we've got the Midday Midterms. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. I'm guaranteeing a Miami Hurricanes 12-team playoff appearance this year. And we're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Uh-oh. A little trouble in Miami Gardens. Dolphins cornerback Jalen Ramsey wasn't spotted at practice today, according to Cameron Wolf of NFL Network. His tweet read, he's been dealing with an undisclosed injury the last couple of weeks, but Mike McDaniel suggested earlier he's been holding Ramsey back. Quote, no setbacks. Quote, I've never been more proud of a player not practicing. So we'll see.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
Mike McDaniel gives some of the most conflating quotes. I mean, I get he's like a whimsical dude. He's really cool and quirky and whatnot, but a lot of times I don't understand what he's trying to say.
So. What if your boss said that about you? I've never been more proud of an employee not working.
That would hurt. That would kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Yeah, don't you want me here?
I would like my presence to be missed, not you to be like, oh, I'm so glad you took the day off today. That just made everything better for us here at ESPN West Palm. Theo didn't pull up. That'll hurt my feelings. Well, your feelings, Baptist Health can't do much about, but if you have a little pain, a little ache somewhere else, maybe they can. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. See, Kat, how were you in grade school when they used to do like the popcorn reading around the room where, you know, the teacher would do?
Yeah, the star of the show.
Yeah.
I would make fun of the stutterers and I would dominate. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. I did not expect that from you. So you would make fun of like verbally the stutterers, like as they were going, would you like point and laugh or was it just like a quick jab, like a quick
I would tap my foot while they're stuttering. Like the Today Junior with Adam Sandler. Yeah, I would do that in real life.
Reckless.
So listen, reading's not hard. I think I can say that.
It comes with practice. Some people have disorders or things that impair it a little bit. But the more you read, the better you get at it, right? So you can get good at it. I actually used to be terrified of reading in class.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't bad at it, but I would be terrified at it. So the thing I would do to get over that is like I would read in like a deep narrator voice as a joke.
Oh, just masking your insecurities.
Yeah, mask my insecurity in the deep narrator voice. And the class always loved it. It was always like a fun thing. So that was the way I got over it. And I was able to do that at a younger age before I even hit puberty somehow. Just I would like do like, you know, beep. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Like I would do that type of thing.
Damn, I'd be so mad if I was a teacher. Take the class seriously, man. You're making people giggle.
It
like
worked.
We're trying to learn about Othello.
It worked. It was a little comedic, you know, what do they call it? Comedic relief.
Would you ever like see what you were going to have to read the next paragraph and there was a curse word in it and like kind of give a little bit of a fist bump? Like, oh yeah.
No. Maybe Texas was a little more strict with their curriculum. I don't remember too many cuss words outside of the time we had to read the Tom Sawyer book, and that got real awkward.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for bringing that up, C-Cat.
Not that one. Yeah. I wouldn't do that curse word.
Yeah, you get real excited when you get to read the Tom Sawyer, huh?
No, we're talking A-words and S-words.
No. He said he's fist bumping when he gets to read Tom Sawyer. That's crazy talk. You learned that first here on Theoretically Speaking. Quickly, I want to give the Sunshine standings. Following week one of college football, we've had two games for one Florida school, and the rest have played one. The Sunshine standings, the standings for the top teams in the state of Florida, I'll work my way up from 7. At number 7, we have Florida International at 0-1. But they got a real cool stadium name, C-Cat.
They're giving out pit bull pins at the next game.
Nice.
I might go just for that.
Like a pin or a pin like a lapel pin?
Like a lapel pin.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is it like his face or does it say pit bull?
He's like whole body.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
I would absolutely not want one of those. At number 6 on the Sunshine standings is Florida Atlantic, who if they would have upset Michigan State in East Lansing, they might have jumped USF here, but I had to put them at 6 because they lost and they put up a good fight.
I heard Ken Levick on the call. Good call for FAU's touchdown.
Hell yeah.
You know, it sounded like they had a chance in that game. They looked at the scoreboard, and they didn't.
They did, though. They were, like, in it. They had a chance to win. They were right there, and then things got a little wacky at the end. At number five in the Sunshine Standings, USF. The Bulls get to play Miami in a few weeks here. If Miami has back Reuben Bain, that one could get ugly, but that was a pick where a lot of people thought the Bulls might give them some trouble, so we'll see. At number four, here goes the big shocker. Number four, the Florida State Seminoles.
Yes!
The Florida State Seminoles at number four. They're 0-2. They've got absolutely zero votes in the latest AP polls. You lost to Georgia Tech, and you lost to a team in Boston College. Both of them came into the season unranked. Both of them, you were favored by double digits. Florida State, you are number four. UCF has jumped you. UCF out of the Big 12 has jumped Florida State in the Sunshine Standings, and it's your own doing. You win at least one of those games, you get to stick in the top three. You lose both of them, which if I would have said that before the season, you would have said no way.
Hey,
no way the Noles lose the first two games.
Hey, hindsight's 20-20. UCF is in a Power Four conference.
Yes, that's a Power Four team with a winning record. You're a Power Four team with two losses. One of the only teams in the nation with two losses. You did it in two different continents. Florida State's at number four. No shade to the Noles. You earned it. At number three, I got UCF, the Knights, which, again, they'll get a chance to duel it out with number two, Florida, in a few weeks. Did you see UCF trolling Billy Napier talking about rural Central Florida? They got their NIL people putting out shirts now.
Ooh.
That one's going to be hot. I think it's October 5th, around that area somewhere.
I think you drop that shirt after you win the game.
Yeah, but
not
you want
to... up.
Well, first of all, UCF has no problem with selling out that stadium and building up hype. But I think they want to poke the bear a little bit right now, so I like that. So UCF is three. Florida's at number two because I don't think Florida is as bad as Miami is just good. Florida's bad, yeah, but I think Miami, who sits at number one of the Sunshine Standings, ranking the college football teams in the state of Florida, there's a chasm. There is a huge gap between the Hurricanes and everybody else because they have a guy at quarterback and nobody else does right now. Maybe USF. Miami number one with Mario Cristobal. He came into the year, third shortest odds to be fired. Now he's got the shortest odds to win the ACC, which would mean the Miami Hurricanes will be in the 12-team playoff. I love the Canes this year, and Cam Ward's got me a believer.
We are 1 week into this brand new landscape of college football, where people, the detractors, the haters of the new age of college football said the regular season doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Think about the perception of the University of Miami 1 week ago today to where we have them now. That's all I need to hear about the regular season of college football. It still matters to me, damn it.
It does. But I will say this. It would matter a whole lot more if it was a 14 playoff. It would matter a whole lot more. You still got people saying Florida State has a chance if they win out.
That's
they would have no shot.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they would have no shot in a 14 playoff. But you're right. It still matters, and we'll see that this Saturday as we get better games early on when we have Michigan and Texas facing off in Ann Arbor. That's your Sunshine Standings. Miami number one, Florida State number four. Those are the shockers. Kill me on Twitter if you want, at Theo Dorsey TV. I don't care. You've been bellowing in your tears all offseason. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. On the other side, we kick things off again with the happy hour, but sadly, we're missing a member of the crew. Still be a good time. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.